Good morning. My name is Reverend Randall Massengill. I'm the pastor at Lafayette First United Methodist Church. We are located at 301 South Main Street in Lafayette, Georgia. Our worship services are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to worship with you.
The scripture reading this morning comes from John, the third chapter, verses 1 through 21. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you're doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." "How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows where it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and you do not understand these things? I tell you the truth, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. But still, you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because of their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God." The word of God for the people of God.
May we pray. It is our desire to know you, O Lord. But help us to make sure that we don't think that we know everything about you. For if we do, then we deceive ourselves. It is our understanding, O Lord, that you have come into this world so that we might believe and to continue to believe. You have revealed who you are. May we believe this day, and not just today, but tomorrow. And forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The purpose of John's gospel, as recorded in chapter 20, it says that Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. In other words, while John reports, Jesus did so much more. But what is written so that you may believe, that is, go on believing, continuing to believe, that Jesus is the Messiah, the anointed one, the one that God has sent, the Son of God, and that by believing, that is continuing to believe, that you may find life in his name. Life in his name. The Great Commission in the Gospel of John is an interesting commission. It says, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." Well, where is he sending you? Well, we don't always know. Remember when he said to Abraham, follow me, and I will show you to the place I want you to go. Do you remember where he told Abraham he was sending him? You're right. He didn't tell him. Sometimes we may not want to know where God sends us because you know what we might say? Pass. I love the story about this preacher's wife who came to a church. And you know, everybody thinks that a preacher's wife prays. And she was in this circle and everybody gave everybody a chance to pray. And when it came to her, she said, pass. Love it. Just love it. Well, Nicodemus did not pass up the opportunity to come to Jesus. Remember in the book of John what it says, that Jesus came to his own and they knew him not. That's very important. Because here we have someone coming to Jesus and he comes there and he says to him, Jesus, we know. We know that you have come from God. We know that you could not do the signs that you do if the presence of God was not with them. We know. I wonder how many of us who heard this story told, and we've heard thousands of times, if we knew this story without even having to listen to it. I wonder how many times we hear the familiar stories and we say it automatically, just like the Apostles' Creed. Maybe like how great thou art. It just becomes automatic. We just know the words. Sometimes we know them so well, we can say them without even thinking about it. Yet there's a danger in doing that because if we begin saying them without thinking about it, we can become very contemptuous. We need to be very, very careful just what we say we know. I remember a PhD man who said that when he graduated from college, he knew it all. When he got his master's degree, he knew only half of what he thought he knew. And when he got his PhD, he finally discovered that he knew nothing as to what he thought he knew. The more we know, the more we find out we don't know. John Piper writes a book entitled, The Jesus You Never Knew. There's some things that you and I know about Jesus, a very important part of things that we know Jesus, but there's some things about Jesus we will never know. Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night. According to John, night has a double meaning. John speaks on two different levels. When John talks about bread, he also talks about the living bread. When he talks about water, he talks about the living water. He talks about Nicodemus coming at night. And in John's gospel, night has a double meaning. It can mean ignorance. It can mean sin. Of course, you and I know that ignorance doesn't mean that one is stupid. Ignorance means that there is a lack of relationship. There is a lack of knowing. Knowing. So Jesus doesn't really respond to Nicodemus' statement. Jesus talks about being born from above. And all of a sudden, he starts messing with Nicodemus' head. And all of a sudden, the Nicodemus who comes to Jesus and says, we know. Notice what he says. We know. He doesn't say, I know. We know. I wonder who we is. We know. All of a sudden, now Nicodemus changes and says, how can this be? All of a sudden, Jesus has begun to talk to him about something he doesn't know. He doesn't understand. You know, I sometimes wonder, how does God save us? Can you really describe it? Can you draw a diagram? Can you show how it comes to be? I mean, is it that simple that you can just draw a diagram and just explain it where everybody understands it? You know, one of the things I don't understand is how God can love the likes of me. You may feel that way about yourself. Maybe you've lived a life before that you often wondered that if God remembered what you and I lived once upon a time, that we would have a hard time stepping in His light because we would be very concerned what He might say to you and me. He might say to us before we ever have an opportunity to change, go away, for I never knew you. We want God to know us. We want to know God because we know He already knows us. Of course, Nicodemus has a very hard time understanding what he needs because he doesn't think he needs anything. He's a Pharisee. He obeys the law. He obeys even laws that keeps him from getting close to disobeying the law. So he's doubly guarded. Yet, he only knows God from here. He doesn't know God from here. Have you ever had anyone to love you with their head? I had a father tell me that he told his daughter this. Do not marry a man who says to you he loves you with his whole heart. He says, marry the man who says, I love you with my whole brain. Interesting. Interesting. Well, I want you and I to know today that Jesus wants you and me to love him not only with our whole brain, but also with our whole heart. Our total allegiance, our total love to him. He wants us to love him so much that we're willing to become fools for God. Nicodemus didn't understand what Jesus was talking about being born from the Spirit, about having an earthly father, but needing a heavenly father to give us new birth, to give us his son, to write on our hearts that which had been written on stone, but to write it on our hearts so that when we obey the Lord, we will do it not because he demands it, but because we love him. Have you ever had anybody that demanded you love? How easy was that? How easy was that? You know, one of the things that Jesus came to do when he died on the cross was to draw us to himself. Jesus was sent into this world to draw people to himself, just like Nicodemus was drawn to him. Many people were drawn to Jesus. Oftentimes, those who were drawn to him that were religious in origin, we figure that they knew who Jesus was, but they turn out to be the ones who don't know who he is. It's the ones who we figure don't know him are the ones who know him. We will hear about that next Sunday at a well in Samaria. Jesus says that those who love the darkness have a hard time stepping in the light. Brothers and sisters, whenever somebody comes to me who is troubled and who needs some pastoral counseling, I will take an hour or two to talk with them, but I will not counsel them in depth. I will not talk to them in depth about themselves or about what they've been through, because if I do, the odds are they'll never come back. It has been my experience that whenever someone tells me their whole life and talks to me about the very intimate things that have happened to them all through their life, after they are through telling me everything about themselves, they usually leave the church I'm at and go somewhere else. I was told that by some old head preachers who said to me, only see people for a while. If they need further counseling, send them to someone else or they'll never come back. And I didn't understand. I said, well, why? They said, well, after they've told you their life story and all of their darkness, they won't ever think that you will ever accept them and that you'll never ever look at them again as you did before. Sometimes I wonder if we feel that way about God. I wonder if we think if we step out of our darkness and into his light, he's going to shame us. He's going to belittle us. He's going to dehumanize us. He's going to ask us, how could we have become such the person that we are? And we have no answer. You know? It's like Dr. Phil, you know? It's like Dr. Phil. Whenever people get their life in straits, someone will say, well, why do people do that? And you know what his answer usually is? Usually is, because they can. Makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Because they can. There's a lot of things, brothers and sisters, you and I do because we can. But there's something else we can do. We can go to Jesus. We can step out of the light, out of the darkness, into his light. and He will receive us. And all of our sin and all of those things in our life that makes us feel so guilty and ashamed of ourselves will just melt away. For if God will accept you and me as we are, then you and I are told to accept one another as we are. If God will forgive us, we can forgive ourselves and we can forgive one another. We can leave this church knowing that we are children of God, saved by His grace. We can go away knowing that we are the true people of God. There was an art dealer who did a symposium for art collectors and buyers about fake art. He had brought in some fake Picassos and some other drawings, and he showed them how to tell if they were legitimate or not. And he said to them, fake art devalues art. My pastor at Graysville United Methodist Church stayed at that church for 35 years. 35 years. He was in Dayton, Tennessee when the Scopes monkey trial started. He was at Robinson's drugstore when it started as a joke and mushroomed into national news. He was a barber in Dayton. And one day, his name was Virgil Wilkie. One day, someone asked him, Virgil, how did you stay at Graysville United Methodist Church for 35 years? And Virgil said, I stayed out of everybody's business. Now, there's a time and place for everything. Brothers and sisters, God wants to get in mine and your business because we are His business. He created us. We belong to Him. And He wants us back. It's not so much about what we know about Him that counts as much as what He knows about us and about what He knows we need. I'll never know everything about Jesus, but there's only one thing that I need to know. He loves me and He loves you. He wants me to accept His forgiveness of my sins. He wants you to receive His forgiveness for your sins. And when you and I accept Him as Lord and Savior, that Spirit, that Holy Spirit, comes into our lives and abides with us and speaks to us and guides our lives, and we are never, ever again alone. We are loved. We are cared for. We are guided along that way. Truth and life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.